from Portland, Oregon, this is the Jewish Review Podcast. I'm Rock and Roll. Coming up this episode, Hanukkah begins in just a couple of weeks, on December 25th. While this is just a quirk of the calendar for many folks, it can be a source of strain for interfaith families looking to honor multiple traditions in a very short window of time. For some guidance navigating this calendar crunch, I spoke with Rabbi Eve Posen, the associate rabbi at Congregation Neve Shalom here in Portland, and a former Rukin Rabbinic Fellow with 18 Doors, a foundation that supports interfaith families in Jewish engagement. We discussed the ways that families can navigate the challenges of the winter holiday season, what Jewish institutions can do to support those families, and why pajamas are the perfect Hanukkah garment. Stay with us. The Jewish Review Podcast is brought to you by the Jewish Federation of Greater Portland. Check out holiday celebrations throughout Portland's Jewish community at the Federation's Hanukkah Happenings page, online at jewishportland.org/ourcommunity/Hanukkah Resources 24. Link in the episode notes. Now, here's Rabbi Eve Posen. Rabbi Eve Posen, welcome to the Jewish Review Podcast.
It's a wonderful podcast to be on.
Well, thank you very much. Tell me about your Jewish journey.
My Jewish journey. Well, I was born and raised by two Jewish parents in a family that really believed in going to the synagogue. So I don't know anything other than being Jewish as my faith tradition, but I really fell in love with Judaism. My first memory of loving it was when I was in sixth grade. I was 11 and my grandfather died. And we sat Shiva as a family, and seeing community come together in that way to support grief and my grieving family was really powerful and impactful on me. And from that moment forward, my Jewish journey changed because I wanted to know more and was always seeking more information, more learning about what it was to be Jewish. So from sixth grade till today, I've been a lifelong learner and discoverer, explorer of Judaism. That led me all the way through to rabbinical school and the rabbinate. Fun fact, I did not think I wanted to be a rabbi until I met my first female conservative rabbi when I was a junior in college. And I was applying to be a Jewish educator. And she said, you know, you really want to be a rabbi. And I argued with her for a solid 3 months that that was wrong. But turns out she was right and I was wrong. And I absolutely love getting to be a part of other people's Jewish journeys and helping them explore and fall in love the way I did.
Excellent. I've heard that as sort of a common refrain where people who end up in the rabbinate and really love being in the rabbinate, someone tells them, you should be a rabbi. And they're like, no, no, no.
It's hard, especially when it starts when you're 13, because what 13-year-old wants to do what any adult tells them they're going to do. So it's hard to distinguish whether that was a part of it, too. But
that's fair enough.
It's a good fit.
So I know from previous conversations that you are a big fan of Hanukkah. What makes this
I enjoy.
What makes this holiday so special for you?
I think that it's the holiday of light that makes it special. I could say, my grandmother, my Nana's latke, she made these beautiful latkes with lacy edges that I remember, but it's not really the latkes. I think it's gathering around light as a family. There's something really magical about watching these flames dance each year.
Yeah. So it seems like the Jewish tradition is certainly not alone in having a holiday custom at the tail end of December around the solstice. What is it that leads so many of these different cultural and faith traditions to have these holidays all pretty much at the same time at the back end of the year?
You know, I think the holidays themselves happen based on different historical or religious texts. So if you're talking about Christmas as the birth of Christ, he was born at this time of year. If you're thinking about Diwali, which happens in the Hindu tradition around this time of year, there's their own theological reasons for it, and Hanukkah as well. But what they all have united is light. In each of them, there are festivals that involve candlelight in some way, because I think the darkest time of the year urges people to seek out light. We know that from the very beginning, based in, at least in Judaism, which is not the basis for why Hanukkah is now, but the first thing God does is create light when we look at the creation story. And so I think that's the fundamental piece of this time of year. People are seeking light and opportunities to gather when the world is very dark because we have limited daylight.
Mm-hmm. So with so many different holidays on the calendar this time of year, what are some of the challenges that interfaith families face in navigating all of this merriment?
It's the Chrismica dilemma, as it were. This, what do we do with our different holidays happening around the same time? How do we keep them separate and be respectful of that separation and not denigrate anyone's tradition? And it's definitely a challenge to, especially in a year like this year where Hanukkah and Christmas are exactly aligned. Hanukkah begins on December 25th and ends on New Year's Day. 2025, fun fact, has two Hanukkahs. Because we have the end of Hanukkah 2024, and it will have its own next year. So I think some of the challenges are, how do you keep distinct traditions in a way that works for you, especially with lighting the Hanukkah candles this year and it being Christmas? Which do you choose, or do you bring them together? And how do you bring them together? How does it feel if you're celebrating a different faith traditions outside of Christmas, that festival, at the same time as you want to have Hanukkah and not put them in competition with each other? I hear that often, is separate but equal, but also in this space of not wanting one to seem better or more fun than the other, and limiting also the amount of resources we put into any kind of celebration. If you're a parent, you're likely exhausted this time of year too.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the ways that you've come across that, families can handle these sorts of challenges?
In my experience, the families that handle these challenges best are the ones where the adults are having conversations ahead of time. So now is a great time to be having those conversations, or at least having conversations outside of earshot of the children. Because our children, we know, listen and pick up everything, especially the things we don't want them to pick up in adult conversations. For some reason, their hearing is much better at that moment. And so it's having a pre-conversation about what it's going to look like. That's as simple as, if you're going to have a tree, that's a conversation to have. I think it goes back to, what's the essence of each holiday for the parent whose faith tradition it is? So if it's not Hanukkah without X, so let's say it's latkes, but the day that you would normally make latkes happens to be the day of your co-parent's Christmas party, maybe it's the smell of latkes. They have latke-scented candles now. Or vice versa, if the tree is triggering for a Jewish parent to have in their home, and the real reason that the non-Jewish parent wants to have a tree is because it's not this season of the year without that smell of the tree. It's not the tree itself, perhaps it's the smell, and there's candles. So thinking about what the essence is and what the core value of your own belief is a really good way of making sure that it's not a tit-for-tat kind of situation, mm-hmm. but sharing with the children why it matters to you will matter to them as well.
Yeah. And I think you point out something important, that it's not just a matter of accommodating the key pieces of both traditions, but it's the fact that some parts of one tradition can be triggering for someone who comes from another tradition and has had some whatever experiences that they've had along the way as an individual person.
Yeah, and I think that our larger world outside of interfaith families also struggles with this. There's the ongoing happy holidays versus Merry Christmas, or holiday parties that are Christmas parties in disguise trying to be politically correct. It's often easier and less frustrating for the non-Christmas celebrator if you just call it what it is. So if you're going to make Christmas cookies, make Christmas cookies. If you want to decorate Hanukkah cookies, decorate Hanukkah cookies. But calling it holiday cookies actually is way more confusing if you're celebrating both holidays mm-hmm. in some way for children. And also for adults, every human wants to be seen. And when we whitewash it and say happy holidays and there's one blue snowflake and everything else is red and green, there's a subtext there, and that's what we want to try to avoid. We want to actually be clear in what we're saying.
Yeah, I was going to say, when somebody says they're making holiday cookies, it's usually pretty rare that they're any color other than red and green.
Correct. They're delicious, but they're red and green.
Yeah. So speaking of kids who, as you mentioned, love to hear things at inopportune moments, What are some of the ways that, parents can talk about this with their kids to sort of ease some of the confusion that I'm sure comes along with many, many holidays?
Again, it comes to the language that we're using. The first I would say is that as parents, we often tell the kids what we think they want to hear, not what they're actually asking. So this is one of those times where it's really important to tune into what our children are asking us and not going on this tangent of all of the complexities behind it. Why do we celebrate Christmas and Hanukkah? Well, those holidays are important to mommy and daddy because you don't have to get into the backstory of what you decided and where you came from and all your frustrations with it. This is the way that our family has chosen to do it. I think it's also one of the key factors in this is language we use. So even for families that only have one tradition, when we say we don't celebrate Christmas, it becomes really hard for kids who are often binary thinkers to be able to see a friend who celebrates both and not think that they're doing something wrong. So instead, the framing of in our house, we celebrate X, changes that into this is what we do and leaves it open for other people to have different traditions. So in our house, we only celebrate Hanukkah, but when we go play with Joey at Joey's house, they celebrate Christmas and Hanukkah. It changes the narrative and it's a subtle shift and we often don't realize what language we're using. But that actually, that simple change helps for everybody to wrap their heads around it in a way more positive light than separating out with the we don't. The other piece to the we don't is kids feel left out. They get to and I don't get to happen. So instead, in our house, we is the same language that parents are going to be using as kids grow up and have to talk about technology and usage, makeup, all the other pieces that come with parenting. It's just a shift that's really important.
Yeah. And it sounds like intentionally adopting an inclusive tone makes those conversations easier and makes processing the results of those conversations easier and more productive for the little ones.
100%. Yeah.
So the common theme I'm sensing in how to navigate these is communication and it being open and honest and forthright and being done in advance as well.
Yes, as much pre-preparation as possible. First of all, everyone, I think, is as parents, when we act on the spot, we often are acting out of emotion and not out of our rational brain. And so the advance helps in that case, but also setting the expectations for our children is often healthier for them the earlier we're able to do that.
Mm-hmm. So we have, our community study has showed us that we have a lot of interfaith families here in Portland. And we've spent most of this conversation talking about how families can navigate this within themselves and within the confines of their family relationships. How can Jewish institutions here in Portland support interfaith families as they navigate these challenges this time of year?
It's an excellent question, and it's one that I think at large the Jewish community has gotten much better at over the years in the last probably two decades. More and more conversations have happened in order for it to be an awareness factor. We need to be aware that this, especially this year with the overlap such as it is, that there are many families who are going to be celebrating both Christmas and Hanukkah or Hanukkah and another holiday. And looking at the calendar, just as Jews, we often get angry when school districts put their prom or homecoming or parent-teacher conferences on our fall holidays and say, why don't they just look at a calendar? It's also on us as institutions to be aware of the calendar and what other celebrations are happening. So to that end, I know many institutions have worked really hard not to actually have programming on December 25th, which on the one hand, if you're a Jewish family looking for something to do and everything's closed, we often rely on the Jewish community to have those experiences for us. But on the other hand, it's thinking about our staff and our families for whom the staff has to work on their holiday, but also for families that celebrate Christmas in particular, not having them feel like they miss out on a Jewish experience on that specific day. Mm-hmm. And I could see the argument for, well, they've made their choice, but we also don't need to make every choice one of those that feels like either or.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big piece. I think the other goes back to the language we use. In our school, we celebrate Hanukkah. if that's the way that the school goes. That language is really important, and not shaming families that come in. Often families are afraid to admit that they celebrate more than just Hanukkah. And so it's the openness, like having this conversation with you on this podcast. I'm hoping that people recognize that I, Rabbi Posen, have an open mind and heart when it comes to navigating these situations. And you're not shunned from being Jewish or being a part of our community because your faith expresses itself with another faith in your home. That's really important, the openness that's there.
Absolutely. So what are, just out of curiosity, what are some of the ways that you've seen over the years Hanukkah celebrations integrated with other faith traditions in a way that you found productive and perhaps meaningful for those involved in them?
I haven't had a lot of experience with that in particular. What I have seen, though, is definitely a willingness for families that are dual heritage, that celebrate with multiple faiths in their homes, to share with their children and invite other families in, so that we're celebrating with each other. Just like you go to someone else's birthday party, mm-hmm. you're celebrating them. So it's not about you. That's the same when you get invited to a friend's house to help them decorate their tree. It's celebrating their tradition and being invited in. I think that's really healthy in normalizing for families that they're not alone in having this journey. And the more we're able to do that and having conversations like this is really where it's at. I know that in some years when Diwali and Hanukkah are at the same time, it's really wonderful to get together and be able with the Hindu community to share our love of light in that space, in the same way that recognizing Kwanzaa in that space with light is a part of that shared value. I think that's where there's greater work to be done.
So you are, and we've had this conversation before, but you are known as something of a connoisseur of Hanukkah pajamas.
Yes.
When was your first experience with Hanukkah pajamas, and what makes them the perfect Hanukkah garment?
Well, I'm going to start with why they're the perfect Hanukkah garment. And mm-hmm. the answer is they're usually stretchy, so eat the latkes and donuts to your heart's content because you will be comfortable. And they're comfy, and it's winter, and it's usually cold. So put on those jammies, snuggle up by the fire, and maybe the Hanukkah candles, but really maybe a safer fire in your fireplace. it's the perfect time of year to have jammies on. So I say go for it and be comfy while you're eating all of the delicious fried foods. When did I get my first Hanukkah jammies? You know, I actually don't think I bought Hanukkah jammies until I had kids of my own. Mm-hmm. And I wanted us to match as a family. And I remember that first year, no one else would put them on. So I did not get my Hanukkah family jammy picture that year. But that sort of kicked it off because I could wear the shirt with jeans and it didn't look like jammies. And from there, the obsession grew. So I have now, I think I could wear a Hanukkah garment and not repeat for two Hanukkahs. So 16 different sets of outfits.
And it's not just jammies at this point.
Not just jammies at this point. Target, not so much this year, but they've done a great job in the past. And Amazon has quite the selection mm-hmm. of Hanukkah wear. But also the main place where I get my jammies from is from a rabbi in New York. Yael Buchler, Rabbi Buchler, who has her own apparel company called Midrash Manicures. And every year she comes out with a new set of Hanukkah jammies. I have a dress. She made a dreidel dress. So it looks like it's argyle pattern, but it's actually dreidels. Nice. That's one of my favorite ones to wear. She also created the matzah dress. So it's not just for and matzah pajamas. So, you know, it's not just Hanukkah where we can be cozy either.
Excellent. So putting on your rabbi kippah for a moment, what are some of the ideas that are really speaking to you and you think can speak to the Jewish community going into this particular Hanukkah in 5785, 2024, however you look at a calendar?
I've been really drawn into the historical story of Hanukkah. So we often say, why is Hanukkah 8 days? while the temple was destroyed, they came in, they found one tiny jar of oil. And miracle of miracles, it lasted for 8 days. Wow, that's a really good story. And when we're in feel-good times in history, I think that story is sufficient and fun to tell. Mm-hmm. But the historical story of Hanukkah from the Book of Maccabees actually puts it in a historical context of the reason it's 8 days was when they were fighting the Maccabean War, they missed the celebration of Sukkot, the fall harvest festival, which happens to be 8 days long. Mm-hmm. And when they realized they missed that and they went back into the temple and had an opportunity to really think about what had happened, they made this decision to, they couldn't go outside and build their huts. It wasn't the right time of year. But they did the sacrifices just like they would have for Sukkot. So that was 8 days. And Hanukkah is 8 days because faith was important enough. The tradition was important enough to not miss it and to not shy away from it. And I think in our world today, when anti-Semitism is rampant and the world feels scary, the lights of the Hanukkah candles, knowing that they're there because in the past something really hard happened to the Jewish people, they had to protect their faith, and they were so devoted that they found a way to make sure that they got to celebrate in the midst of all of that destruction, is really powerful. That even in these dark times, even last year at Hanukkah, I was in Israel, the day before I came back from Israel. And even then, in this dark time, they still had Hanukkah celebrations up. They were more muted, but even then, we celebrate the light that can come when we persevere in that space. And that's the message I'm leaning into this Hanukkah.
That's really beautiful. I would like to say that I'm appreciative that they did not decide to sit in a sukkah in the middle of December.
Yeah, me too, because that would be awfully cold and wet in the Pacific Northwest.
Indeed. Rabbi Eve Posen, thank you so much for joining us on the Jewish Review Podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's all for this episode of the Jewish Review Podcast. A holiday thank you to Rabbi Eve Posen for her time and her work supporting Jewish community and families from all backgrounds. You can learn more about the Rukin Fellowship she completed and find resources for interfaith Jewish families at 18doors.org, link in the episode notes. If you like this episode, please leave a 5-star review on the podcast platform of your choice to help others find our show, subscribe to get our latest episode every 2 weeks, and tell a friend. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please reach out by email to editor@jewishportland.org. Don't forget, you can get the latest news from Portland's Jewish community by subscribing to the Jewish Review online at jewishportland.org/Jewish Review. A note for our loyal listeners, the Jewish Review podcast will be on hiatus while we load up on latkes and siftganiyot this holiday season. Our bi-weekly episode schedule will resume following our next episode, January 15th, 2025. The Jewish Review podcast is a production of the Jewish Federation of Greater Portland. Our associate editor is Karon Glau Rothstein. Special thanks to Daniel Berger. Our theme music is by Isaac Joel. I'm Rockney Roll. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, happy Hanukkah, happy New Year, and all the best.